And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show on this Thursday. It's the 9th of January and it's just 4 minutes past nine here from the northwest of Ireland. Thanks very much for your company. Hopefully you'll keep us in mind for the next 3 hours. We'll keep you up to date on the weather if we need to. It is snowing again here at the mountaintop, so things might develop over the course of the next 3 hours, but we've got so much more to keep you informed and hopefully entertained. We want you involved in the conversation throughout, so I'll invite you please to WhatsApp and text the show 086 60 25000. If you're watching from outside the Republic, 00 3538 660 25000. Feel free to send in your voice notes. Maybe that suits you better and it's a better way for you to interact with us. We're more than happy to receive those. If you want to give us a call, Caroline's taking your calls, assisted by Shannon this morning, 074 91 25000. And if you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. And hello to you if you're listening to the podcast or listening overnight to the repeat. Feel free to email as well. We'll pick them up and include them in the next live show. And I will remind you that you can watch the show live. There's a watch live button on the website, highlandradio.com. We're on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, which means you can also watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, if that suits you at home or wherever you are. And also across Facebook, just type in Highland Radio. We're not hard to find, and we're streaming on the X platform throughout the world as well. Let's see what's making the headlines and inside some of the newspapers today. And we'll start with the Tyrconnell Tribune. With nominations for the five Seanad panels already closed, there are seven Donegal candidates in the field. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh got a nomination at the request of Taoiseach Simon Harris on the Labour panel, where 11 seats are to be filled, with John McNulty already running on the agricultural panel and 11 seats to be filled. Fine Gael will be optimistic of having two seats in the upper house, and in some ways it will lay the foundations for rebuilding the party that in November struggled to hold 9% of the vote. Fine Gael has been left without a TD in Donegal for the first time ever, and the selection of two runners will be seen in party ranks as a positive move, despite the fact Harris only made a fleeting visit to Letterkenny at the height of the election campaign. But he has engaged quite a bit with Donegal outside of that. He was on with us two or three times as well. So I presume he's blending a mixture of physical and media interactions. The Derry People Donegal News points out that Letterkenny University Hospital services are under strain, and it seems to be perpetually the case. Winter pressures, respiratory infections and the recent cold snap have driven up capacity levels at Letterkenny University Hospital, with every available bed in use and elective surgeries postponed. 170 people presented to the hospital emergency department on Monday, 54 of whom arrived by ambulance, with a significant number arriving after 6 p.m. Nine ambulances were backed up outside the hospital's emergency department on Monday night for a time, waiting to hand over patients. The hospital is postponing a number of elective procedures due to a lack of bed capacity. Patients are being contacted directly if the procedure is being postponed, which is another regrettable element of overcrowding. The Derry News this morning: Derry and Strabane District Council has been urged to support the ongoing Palestinian boycott, divestment and sanctions campaign. Speaking at Tuesday's meeting of the Council's Governance and Strategic Planning Committee, Chair of Derry ISPCC, Catherine Hutton, described the city's prominent status as an apartheid-free zone as mere window dressing. Ms Hutton said there's little evidence of the Council reflecting the commitment it has made in supporting Palestine. Let's go on to the Nationals now. And you might remember earlier in the week, we were talking about a government commitment not being delivered on. And this was HRT drugs being made free for women that needed them, of course, or who were receiving them, who were likely to receive them. And the government stance at that point was that it is going to happen, but in the future at a date yet to be determined. But more details of what might be holding up and the row and the different parties that are involved in it are covered in the papers today. And pharmacies may be forced to reveal how much they charge in dispensing fees for HRT medicine after the Department of Health said it was deeply concerned that customers are being kept in the dark. A row has broken out between the department and the Irish Pharmacy Union over the rollout of free hormone replacement therapy for women, which was supposed to start on January the 1st. Now, the department said pharmacies and pharmacists are trying to scupper the scheme, but the IPU said it was impossible for pharmacies to provide the scheme due to significant implementation gaps, which is what we heard from our local pharmacist earlier in the week. In an internal briefing prepared by the Department of Health and circulated to senior political figures in recent days, it blames pharmacists for the delay in the rollout of the scheme. The department is now investigating whether there is an onus on pharmacies to reveal their professional fees, which it is claimed are as high as €10 per product for some medicines. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, who lost his seat in the general election, announced £20 million for the scheme as part of Budget 25. Laws were passed before the last stall was dissolved that paved the way for the scheme to be implemented. Mr Donnelly previously said he had two options in how the initiative was rolled out. One was to limit it to certain age groups and cover dispensing and GP fees. The other was to introduce it to all women to cover the cost of the medicine. So the government placing the blame, it seems, at the shop door of pharmacies. The Irish Times this morning, there's been an increase in the misuse and abuse of the state's monthly payment for those accommodating Ukrainian refugees in their homes and private properties. A charity that oversees the pledging of housing has warned Helping Irish Hosts, the grassroots charity formed in 2022 to support people seeking to host displaced Ukrainians, contacted the government last year to warn it had logged an increased number of incidents where the accommodation recognition payment was being misused. The ARP is a tax-free monthly payment of €800 for those providing accommodation to Ukrainians who arrive in Ireland under the EU Temporary Protection Directive. Documents released under a Freedom of Information request reveal HIH found some hosts were receiving top-up payments, raising concerns about tenancy rights and tax obligations. Now, I thought it was common knowledge that a lot of landlords or people receiving the €800 were getting top-up payments. I didn't believe this to be something that was requiring a Freedom of Information Act. It just goes to show, I thought the dogs in the street knew this was happening. But anyway, it was revealed in a Freedom of Information. Other issues such as market distortion and potential exploitation have surfaced, it warns, in its pre-budget submission to the Department of Integration in September. So as I say, apparently this is being revealed today, and I just thought that was common knowledge that some were receiving a top-up from their tenants on top of the €800 tax-free. This is a story that was around over the Christmas period. We were off air and it's covered again in the Irish Daily Mail, so I thought it worth a read. The world-famous Donegal tweed weavers are calling for a special protected status for cloth as the craft industry battles cheap imitations by rogue traders. Under new EU rules, non-food and drink products will receive the same protection designation as products such as sparkling wine from Champagne in France or ham from Parma in northern Italy, which must be from their named place. Fianna Fáil TD and former junior minister Pat the Cope Gallagher is to ask Enterprise Minister Peter Burke to introduce the EU PGI framework to protect the Donegal tweed brand from rogue traders branding their tweed pieces as Donegals. So you can see the problem here. Some people are naming their tweeds Donegals, but it's not from here at all. Next thing you'll be telling us, they're selling battered fish that purports to be from Donegal but isn't. But anyway, PGI, or Protected Geographical Indication, shields certain brand producers from rival producers who use misleading methods to sell similar products that are not the genuine article. So I think that's a decent shout, isn't it? If it's not tweed, you know, sourced and made in Donegal, it shouldn't have the name Donegal Tweed on it. So hopefully they're successful in that campaign. The Irish Farmers Journal this morning, the sale of cows from herds that have had TB could be severely restricted for 3 years after the herd is clear of the disease, the Irish Farmers Journal understands. The radical new proposal from the Department of Agriculture would apply to herds of at least 50 cows and would be triggered where 5% or more of a herd's cows, or at least 10 cows in larger units, are TB reactors. Under the proposed changes, affected herds would only be permitted to sell cows directly for slaughter or to controlled finishing units during the 3-year restricted period, so they couldn't move them amongst farmers. If agreed, this would severely curtail the trading of cows through March, as you can imagine. So it's for herds over 50. I'm not sure how prevalent that is here in this part of the world. But what do you think about that? Maybe you're in the community. Maybe that may affect you or members of the farming community. Let us know. Fires are raging across the world. At least two people were reported killed yesterday as wildfires tore through Southern California. Residents evacuated from Pacific, Palisades and Pasadena, Malibu and Calabasas as fire inferno spread. The Palisades blaze alone was devouring land at the rate of 5 football pitches per minute in what is under, which is an affluent coastal neighbourhood. It doesn't bother me whether it's rich or poor people, but anyway. University of California climate scientist David Swain said it is plausible that the Palisades fire will become the costliest on record. And it is quite interesting, because I watched a bit of an interview with Donald Trump and Joe Rogan, the podcaster. And this was before the election. And he talked about the lack of water in this area. And he also talked about the fact that water, which would be flowing naturally in this direction from Canada, was being diverted out into the sea. He said that was a terrible waste. And now what we are finding is that the fire service is struggling to get water to tackle the blaze. They have zero control over these fires by their own evidence. But also he talked of in that interview the fact that the forests weren't being managed. And for green reasons, in inverted commas, The forests weren't being protected from the potential of fire. And here we are a short few months later, and it seems like he's been proven correct in that regard. Just if you are travelling, by the way, I'm looking out the window and very heavy snowfall here at the mountaintop in Letterkenny. So other high areas of the county may be facing similar. So just be careful if you are heading out. What do you think about this move by Ryanair? This is the Irish Daily Mirror. Ryanair will now file legal proceedings against disruptive passengers, the airline has confirmed. Now, I know this was covered yesterday, but the papers are picking it up today. The company is claiming €15,000 in damages against a person who was on a flight between Dublin and Lanzarote last year. Ryanair contends their behaviour forced the flight to divert to Porto, where it was delayed overnight and caused 160 passengers to face unnecessary disruption, as well as losing a full day of their holiday. The airline has described the passengers' behaviour as inexcusable and completely unacceptable. It also said the €15,000 figure comes from the cost of overnight accommodation, passenger expenses and landing costs. Ryanair said it has a strict zero-tolerance policy towards passenger misconduct, adding it will continue to take decisive action to combat unruly passenger behaviour on aircraft. Have you ever been on an aeroplane where someone's gone off? And I'm not sure if it had to be landed or diverted, but what's it like? Have you ever had that experience? Ryanair, of course, and I'm not saying this is to do with booze, Ryanair is continuing to campaign for a limit on the amount of alcohol served in airports, because obviously sometimes people get on the planes drunk and cause issues. They're happy enough to sell it on the planes, but they don't want it sold on the airport. Would you be in favour of maybe a one or two drink limit in the airport, or do you think it's up to you what you do? Finally, if you are planning a wedding, plastic willies and male strippers at hen do's are being ditched in favour of escape rooms and axe throwing. Stags are also shunning booze and strip clubs, research reveals. Party organisers last night of Freedom, which arranges thousands of bashes a year, said not one male stripper was booked for any of the bridal events in 2024. Group shows featuring hunky butlers in the buff were also down nearly 70%. Yet bookings for immersive experiences such as escape rooms, karaoke booths, cocktail making and mini golf rocketed by 270%. So it's more cocktails and less plastic willies and male strippers, more karaoke, etc. That was in the Irish Sun. It makes sense too. It's less seedy, less, isn't it? I don't know. But it's all fun. Whatever you want to do, you're all adults. Okay, the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. We're with you to 12. Very tragic news emerged late yesterday evening, and that was that Gardaí and Bunkrana are investigating all of the circumstances surrounding the death of an adult male. This follows the discovery of a body at a vacant property in Dundrain, Burn Foot, at around 2:30 p.m. yesterday afternoon. Now, the deceased has not yet been identified, but he has been removed to the mortuary at University Letterkenny Hospital for a post-mortem, and I imagine that the investigations will continue at the scene of this discovery, but also the results of that post-mortem, as is course, will determine the course of the Garda investigation. So details are limited at this point. Councillor Jack Murray is the Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, and Jack, obviously, condolences with this to this gentleman's family, but at this point, unfortunately, we don't know who he is or who his family is. So someone, unfortunately, is going to be getting very bad news over the next number of hours or days. Incredibly, incredibly sad.
Yeah, as you said, it's an extremely tragic news to break yesterday evening, and very, very sad. The local community is just absolutely in shock. And as you said yourself, information is very scarce at the minute. We don't know the circumstances of this poor man's death, but nonetheless, this is a very, very tragic incident to be visited upon our community. And just whoever this man is, we'll see his name, but his family or our thoughts are with him at such a horrible time.
Yeah, and as I say, we don't know. We don't know the cause of this man's death, but, I mean, obviously it's very cold lately. It's possible, and the Gardaí will determine this, if someone was trying to get shelter, I don't know. But that's certainly something I'm sure the Gardaí will be looking into.
Yeah, no, look, it was a vacant house. They have said that. So we can't assume the cause of this poor man's death, but it nonetheless would serve as a reminder. Just check on your neighbours, check on any house in your local area. The temperatures have plunged to very, very dangerous levels. So whether or not it's the cause of this poor man's death, it serves a reminder to everybody in the community. Just look out for your neighbours, look out for elderly people, look out for anybody who could be vulnerable during these very, very dangerous temperatures.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure it's a great deal of shock in the local area, Jack.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as soon as the news broke, as the Gardaí released the press release last night, I'm sure my phone and everybody else in the local area was hopping. Just who is this poor man? Do we know any information? But information is scarce. But regardless, a man has lost his life last night. That's all we know, and it's extremely, extremely tragic and very, very sad.
And we'll await direction from Gardaí to see what happens next. Okay, thanks for your time, Councillor Jack Morica here, Lough of the Inishowen Municipal District there. Just to recap the details of that, and they are limited at this time, as you can imagine, but Gardaí and Buncrana, they've launched that investigation into all circumstances surrounding the death of an adult male. It's following the discovery of his body at that vacant property in Dundrain Burnfoot at around 10:30 yesterday afternoon, but details didn't emerge until the evening. As we mentioned there, the deceased has not yet been identified, but his remains have been removed to the mortuary at Letterkenny University Hospital for a post-mortem examination. Now, the Office of the State Pathologist and the local coroner has been notified, of course. The scene remains preserved for a technical and forensic examination, and the results of the post-mortem, as I mentioned to Councillor Murray there, will assist Gardaí in determining the course of the investigations. Now, if you have any details that might help in relation to this, you really are encouraged to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 074 932 0540. For whatever reason, if you would prefer to do that in confidence, you can contact the Garda Confidential line, 1-800-666-111. Now, just to an email, and I wanted to take a moment to express my gratitude for having someone discuss endometriosis on your platform. As someone who's lived with this condition, I can attest to how debilitating and painful it can be. Unfortunately, there remains a lack of awareness around it, and even many GPs are not adequately educated on the matter. It is truly refreshing to see such important women's health issues being addressed, issues that are often not talked about enough. Hearing Karen discuss both endometriosis and menopause was incredibly insightful. So many women, including myself, are experiencing these challenging symptoms without knowing where to turn for help. Knowing that there is support and information out there is truly heartening. Thank you once again for shining a light on these critical topics. I sincerely hope you continue to feature discussions around women's health, and bring in healthcare professionals to provide valuable insights. And it is something we are always do very actively here on this program throughout the course of the year, and I'm sure this year will be no different. Okay. It looks like it could be at least the 22nd of this month before there is a new government in situ. Discussions are ongoing. John McAteer, editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune, is with me this morning to discuss this. Hi, John.
Hi, Greg. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Great to see you again, John. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised, should we, that the talks are taking so long. Obviously, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are very close to a majority themselves, but they do need support. And there's a bit of horse trading going on. It's clear Labour, the Sock Dems, they didn't want to go in. They're out. So it's down to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Independents.
Exactly. We don't know how long that's going to take, because from what I understand from talking to a number of TDs yesterday, it's not going to happen on the 22nd because there's going to be nothing ready. For one point alone, any programme for government has to come back to the parliamentary parties. It has to be approved there, and after that it goes out to the constituency delegates to hold their particular meetings to rubber stamp it. So it's not going to happen on the 22nd. It may be a couple of weeks later at the earliest. But so much probably work remains to be done. The heavy lifting, as they say, the heavy departments, and indeed to get down to who is going to get what, the horse trading that will go on there, who remains in what position. Do they bring Stephen Donnelly back in? Because there's a caveat there in the Constitution, and Donnelly's name was mentioned shortly after he lost his seat. But the Taoiseach is he is entitled to nominate two senators as part of the constitutional remit for the Senate. He's entitled to appoint two of them to cabinet. Speculation there is being mentioned that Donnelly could easily be one of those.
How does that play with the public, though, given that the whole point of the democratic process is to elect people, but if you don't believe they're doing the job that they were elected for, you can deselect them? He was deselected by the people. How might it play out if he ends up still as a senator with a seat at the table?
That's the tricky one. It'll not play out very, very well, but I mean, once the election is over, it's out of our hands. It'll probably be talked about for 10 days or thereabouts. And Stephen Donnelly may have no interest in coming back anyway, but it may well be that he does, because he has been in health. Has he done a good job there? The jury would be out on that. He probably has given it his best shot in the myriad of circumstances that surround the Department of Health and indeed the lack of hospital beds and the lack of investment in infrastructure, because the country is growing. I mean, by the next election, the country will be way past 5.6 million people. And all that's going to mean to us that we'll have another 20 TDs. And this is where we're at here, I suppose. The reality here is that the whole workings of government requires a whole inside overhaul of how business is done. Government departments need to be broken up, and that's accepted. When you look at Eamon Ryan was in charge of the environment, climate and transport, that didn't make an awful lot of sense.
Well, there are conflictions there, aren't there? He's trying to reduce how much fuel we use, but at the same time has oversight on capacity at Dublin Airport. I know it's a bit more convoluted than that, but basically it does feel on the face of it like a conflict.
It does seem like a conflict, but he probably done a reasonably good job out of it in the circumstances, given that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were not all that keen on the message that he was delivering. But now they're in there without a minister of his calibre, so they have nobody with any experience to take over that portfolio, and that's going to become a very, very important one in the new Dáil, because we're nowhere near meeting our 30%. For reduction of emissions. In fact, we mightn't be to 20%. And the ambition was to have it at 0% by 2050. That's not happening. I mean, back 4 to 5 years ago, the whole buzzword was EV cars, a million of them on the roads, and all this kind of thing. In fact, there's less of them on the roads, because people haven't got back the confidence to buy into them, and maybe they can't afford them.
The charge in infrastructure is a big issue, because people want to have the confidence to travel. And I've done too many interviews on this show about another 20 million being invested in the charging infrastructure, another 20, and nothing ever came of it. It's quite frustrating. And if I was selling those cars, I would be very frustrated. Much was said in the general election campaign about the importance of having a minister in Donegal, and that was a big feather in the cap of Charlie McConnellogue. We see that Fine Gael seem very interested on the agricultural portfolio, and maybe that's another department that could be broken up a little bit, because I think some of the rural independents are interested in fisheries and what have you. What does that mean, do you think, over the course of the next couple of weeks? What does that mean in terms of the chances of this county retaining a minister in the department he currently is in, or at all for that matter?
I think it's vital that Donegal retains the agricultural portfolio. Charlie McConnellogue has done extremely well there. very difficult circumstances because you're trying to, you're wearing different hats all the time. You're trying to deal with emissions, and the agri industry is getting an awful lot of blame because there's so many cattle in the country. And on the other hand, then, okay, he's also in charge of the marine. There shouldn't be anything particularly wrong with that. There are junior ministers in there, but like at the end of the day, I think Charlie McConnell Logue has been a very positive influence in Donegal politics, and it would be regrettable should he lose his seat. The only thing
seat at the cabinet table, I presume you're talking of. Do you believe he will retain a cabinet position?
I don't see why not. But, I mean, the horse trading that will go on there over the next couple of weeks for jockeying for position, we haven't heard very much about that there because they have not got anywhere near that there. There's going to be changes, obviously, and probably very big changes. You may see some of the big names. There are vacancies there, as I said. Stephen Donnelly is gone. Heather Humphreys is gone. Those are very, very key, very, very, very key portfolios. And at the end of the day, some of them are there a long time. I would imagine that Jennifer Carroll McNeill will be coming into the cabinet, that Derek Cleary will be coming back in there, probably Peter Burke, who he's always been tipped for that in recent years. You may see six or seven major changes. You'll see some departments broken up. There'll be more junior ministers. Well, I don't know how many junior ministers they can have. We don't know how many junior ministers is available there. But I would imagine that the independent group, we haven't heard too much from them because we understand that they've not yet been at the discussion table. And they're going to be very agreeable to everything at the moment, and that it'll remain that way until they start divvying up the different positions.
Mm.
And there'll be six or eight of them. They'll all expect, at this point, to be considered. They may be looking for two more junior ministries or two more senior ministries as well. They'll be looking for a super junior because the Green Party had three pretty senior ministers. They had Eamon Ryan, and they had Catherine Martin and Roderick O'Gorman. So those were important ministries. They also had a super junior, and they had three juniors. So like they had seven key positions. So far, Verona Murphy is the only one of that independent group who has got what is the plump position of Cancoria. So, like, we're going to have to wait and see how that divvies up, and indeed how departments are going to be broken up.
Mm.
Because how much of that can you do? We seem to have money to do a whole lot of things, but housing and health are still going to be the key issues that have got to be resolved.
Yeah, and it's how to make that money work, I think, is the great challenge. And the government that sorts that out, how to transfer that money into improvements in people's lives.
Yeah.
What's the story with Charles Ward, the 100% redress TD? I haven't seen his name involved in any of the horse racing negotiations. I don't believe he's part of that independent group that is potentially going to be the group, along with the Healey Race, that keeps the government in power. So unless he's in those negotiations, it's going to be hard for him, of course, to negotiate anything that would bring those affected closer to 100% redress.
Yeah, you see, that's very true. The independent group in all shades and sizes are a group of about 23 or 24 TDs. But there's a group of six or seven there, led by Michael Lowry. He is going to be the kingmaker there. Oh, that I have no doubt. Michael Lowry's in politics 46 years. He's been down these roads before, and he has done quite well so far in getting Verona Murphy in there. You know, it's a position that you couldn't have imagined Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil allowing to go, given the kind of money that's for it. It has a lot of prestige as well. So they will settle for a lot less to get the government up and running. But I don't see that happening on the 22nd of January, and indeed the last time we went from mid-February until the middle of June, over what seemed like very, very little at the end of the day.
Right.
The buzzword the last time was global warming and all that. It was housing and it was health.
Yeah.
It still is.
We may well come back to that. I want to go to the Shannon, and it's a complex voting system. There are seven Donegal people contesting seats on various panels. Five of them are based in Donegal. Mm-hmm. Our John McNulty Agricultural Panel, Eileen Flynn Administrative Panel, Micheál Nochtin Industrial and Commercial Panel, Jimmy Kavanagh Labour Panel, Niall Blaney Agricultural Panel. I believe that's the five I've mentioned there. First and foremost, who votes in which panels? It might be too complex for us to go through it all at the moment, but no, who's actually electing these people?
It's kind of straightforward. The incoming TDs, the 174 of them, the outgoing senators, the 60 of them, six of them will be voting on the university panels. So the Taoiseach has 11 of a choice. So there are 43 seats on those panels. Culture and Education has 5 seats. Labour has 11. Agriculture has 11 as well. Industrial and Commercial has 9. And Administration has, 5 or thereabouts. So I think there's about 125 people in there. I haven't read the nomination since the close, but it's in and around that there. But it's a very archaic system of voting, in that the votes get broken down and then are they're counted in multiples of 1,000. Like, for instance, Niall Blaney the last time would have had a strong position at 5.2. What that is, I'm not too sure. It may well be that it is the quota, or else the valid poll on that panel, broken down in percentages and then multiplied by 1,000.
Mm.
So Niall Blaney ended up on 58,000 and he won that seat comfortably. Donegal can be expected to get a couple of senators here. Jimmy Cavanagh there is got the nod from Simon Harris, so that has to have some credibility with voters down the country. I think at this point, it's a bit late in the day because the ballot papers issue next Wednesday. Counting begins after 11 o'clock on the 30th. But after next Wednesday, going around visiting the 949 councillors could be a real lottery, because all they have to say to you, sorry about that, I've just filled in my ballot paper, I can't help you.
Is that where the likes of the appointment from for Jimmy Cavanagh might benefit him, in that obviously it gives him an advantage that he's a Taoiseach pick, or not a Taoiseach pick, a Simon Harris pick?
That's as close as it gets. He's on the inside panel, and that he's been elected with the approval of the Taoiseach, and he has the Oireachtas members required to back him. So he'd be one of those. John McNulty is on the Agricultural Policy Party as well. He should be in with a fair shout there, you know, because party politics does go out the window, you know, on the Senate elections, because the councillors are all being lobbied and they're all looking for their own agendas to be addressed. And party politics, as I say, just doesn't really matter to them, or what the leadership says doesn't matter all that much to them. But you'd expect Donegal to have a number of senators this time around. If Fianna Fáil has Niall Blaney there. It's the second time, and Michael Naughton is running again on the Irish Hotels Federation panel. Well-known figure. Be interesting to see, is he in close to winning that there? You have Robbie Gallagher from Termon, who's running in Monaghan. He's living in Monaghan. He's based there, and he'll be expected to win.
And Danny Byrne?
Danny Byrne from Brooklands is based in Dublin, Fine Gael councillor in Dublin. But we can't elect the 7 of them this morning, by the way.
Okay.
If we get 3, we'd be doing very well, I would imagine. We probably never had 3 before. But it adds a bit of interest to it, in that we have a new, renewed interest in the Senate.
If I'm reading your mood music correctly, you would be optimistic, or not optimistic, but you'd be predicting Niall Blaney and Jimmy Cavanagh in a strong position. If you mentioned we could have 3... then who is the third? Micheál Nochtain, he's got a lot of influence, of course, and is very well known across the country in business and sporting circles. Would he be the third most likely in your view?
I think so, yeah. Mm. I think so. Fianna Fáil will put a fair push in there to get him over the line. There's no reason that they'd have to do that. But you see, how many others have there to give a fair push to get over the line for a whole lot of different reasons? As I say, it's a pretty archaic system. Mm. You have 949 councillors, you have the 174 TDs and the outgoing members of the Senate. Mm. So,
in relation back to the government formation talks, what I would like to see, and it doesn't matter to me which party is or isn't or whatever, is I would like to see in full and costed the deal with independence. So I would like to see who's promised what, how much it might cost, when it's expected to be delivered. It'll be clear, of course, who gets which roles if those, some of those are up for grabs. But I would really like to know how much this deal would cost the taxpayer, who gets what and where, how much is Kerry getting, for an example, and so on and so forth. Am I naive to want that level of openness and transparency in politics in 2025?
Just doesn't happen. Just simply does not happen that way, Greg. We might be all a wee bit naive and a bit green behind the ears on these things here, but like these deals are done out of our sight and out of view. The Healey raise will exact a fair price for their support, and that support from independents can never be guaranteed. We're not clear if the independents or a group of them are going to approach this with a single kind of strategy of backing the government across all their programmes. Hard to see that a group of, say, 8 independents is going to back the government and accept their policies, given that these are individual candidates with their individual agendas down the years. The likes of Sean Cannon and Marion Harkin and people like that, they've been around politics for a very, very long time. But Michael Lowry is going to be the kingmaker there, and he's going to drive a very, very hard deal. And I think he'll get it because he seems to have that influence and power.
But just like you say, for instance, Marion Hawkins made a big play of Sligo University Hospital, as you can imagine. So, we could find ourselves in a situation that just because she's going to support the government, and this, many people from South Donegal go to Sligo, don't get me wrong, but there is a possibility that just because she's supporting the government, that the gap between Sligo University Hospital and Letterkenny University Hospital could widen even further. I mean, I just don't think issues such as health and other very serious matters should be part of horse trading negotiations. I mean, I suppose if I was in Sligo, I'd be going, yay. And I'm not even saying that that's necessarily what her red line might be, right? But you can imagine it's going to be something like that. And it's just, for me, done on the quiet, secretly, behind closed doors, and it could have a negative impact on people. I'm not comfortable with that. Nobody is,
but that's politics in Ireland.
Maybe the independents we'll do these negotiations, but these negotiations have to be published afterwards. Is that not what independent voices are supposed to do, not have idiots like me trying to call for these things?
The most successful group of independents in any government in my memory, which does stretch back a bit, was the 1997 government led by Bertie Ahern, and they had the 4 independents. They had Tom Gildy, Harry Blaney, Mildred Fox and Jackie Healy-Rae, the father of the legendary Michael and Danny. A lot of money was delivered, a lot more so than we might have anticipated. And that worked very smoothly and worked very satisfactorily, but each of them had their own individual agenda. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just the fact that the 4 of them had a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge in politics, and they knew how to work the system from their lifetime of experience. When you could get Harry Blaney, got 6 million for housing in Letterkenny, and he got a bridge over Mulroy Bay, which is quite a big expense. But that was only some of the stuff that they got. So, independence can work.
The deflector system, Thomas Gilday got rid of that deflector system. I believe
he delivered more money as well in South Donegal.
Yeah, that's what he was elected for.
But I'm talking here about, those were 6 individual, but they were committed to keeping the government in power. That was the one thing about them. Harry Blaney and Jackie Healy-Rae would have come from that very strong Fianna Fáil gene pool back in the day. So they would have a dedication and a commitment to ensure that Fianna Fáil got the heads up, regardless of what the rows might be behind the scenes. And there were plenty of them.
Yeah, a caller says, what's the situation with Senator Nikki Bradley? Is she running again? Thanks. My understanding is she's taking a step back from politics.
I have no idea now. She's not on any of the panels. She's not contesting the election. And I don't think she has made any statements on it. But we'll see. I think there's going to be huge challenges facing this government because, as far as the climate action and is concerned, we're facing massive fees of between 8 and 20 billion by 2030. If we don't step up to the mark and start implementing some of those
the tough decisions.
The Nitrates Directive is this time next year, it'll be either here or it won't be here. There's going to be a huge amount of lobbying and meetings to hold on to that.
Well, it was said. Is there though? Because I heard a government government minister speaking over Christmas, and obviously agriculture wasn't his portfolio. And he says, and obviously we're going to lose the nitrates directive soon, so we have to prepare for that. Do you know what I mean? It was in the context of a broader conversation, and maybe it was a slip of information, but I thought it was very insightful. He says, well, we're going to lose the nitrates directive, so we have to prepare for that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, are we being idiots here and thinking, oh, we're going to battle hard for it, when really the writing's already on the wall and we're just going to be fed a load of nonsense for the next couple of years that we're battling to retain something?
It's an uphill battle. The decision will be made for the 1st of January next year, and that's going to be it. If we lose our nitrates directive, our farming will be all the poorer, because we'll not be able to use the kind of fertiliser quantities or qualities that we have been using. And that is going to have a very, very negative impact, especially on smaller farms out in rural Donegal. That we were up at 270, we're down to 220 now, and the next thing, it'll be gone. It'll be down under 170. And it'll dictate, especially on small farms, that you won't be doing very much farming, or that you won't be doing very much cattle rearing. And that would be a tragedy if that was to be lost in rural Ireland. Because we don't have an awful lot out here, you know.
We don't,
apart
John.
Apart from snow falling down.
Snowfall, the Tyrconnell Tribune and Highland Radio. Yeah, I know, and snow. All right.
So it's amazing.
Great to see you again. Looking forward to chatting to you throughout 2025, John.
Thanks, Greg.
I did the swim in New Year's Day. I didn't make the papers. I hope you were sent a picture of me, and even if you framed it and put it up on your wall, I just didn't make the papers. Quite disappointed.
Well, when I go off here now, the first thing, my top priority is to find that picture and put it in upside down.
you're a buck. John, lovely to see you. Have a great 25. We'll chat again. God bless you.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. And the Tyrconnell Tribune is out now, today, with some speculation on what we've just been talking about. Okay. It is more difficult to get elected to the Shannon, says listener. More difficult than the Dáil. I respect anyone who goes this route. So a new government's to be formed, says listener, and up and running by the end of January. The big question is, how will we ever know what was agreed with the independent? Surely this defeats the purpose of voting independent. It's an interesting take on it. And if any of you have views in relation to that, you know, like, obviously, with parties, there's a certain amount of information you get. I'm not saying there's no transparency, don't get me wrong. But I think people vote independent sort of, you know, maybe to... Is it to upset the system a little bit, that there's more sort of openness and transparency, yet independents come together as a party, effectively a collective, and then they go into government and, they have a wish list and they get goodies, and we never know what it is. And it could disadvantage us up here, who's to say? But we don't know. And if you don't know, you have to speculate. Greg, who's entitled to vote in the Shannon elections? Is it TDs only? Councillors have a vote, and there are students that have votes, or student members, and it is kind of complex, but John there outlined much of it for us. All right, we asked on our social media, what's your least favourite chore to do around the house? A listener got in touch to say that their least favourite chore is pairing odd socks. What's yours? Let us know. Right, the way I suppose maybe if you use a tumble dry, it's different. Just a thing on the socks. As you take them out of the washing machine, if you lose a clothes horse, pair them then. That's what we do. Pair them at that point. And then when they dry, you just pick them up and pair them. But there are little gadgets, aren't they? Aren't there, that you can connect the socks as you wash them? Eileen says, buy a packet of safety pins and pin each pair of socks together before you wash them. No odd socks then. Problem solved. Well done. Joanne says, I told my hubby I'm only buying black socks from now on, so they all match. Joanne, you're stealing my... That's my thing. I've been talking about this to Lee Gooch for years. I just have the one type of socks, and I never have odd socks. Housework, all of it, Grania, not a big fan. Denise says, actually, my man Santi voucher haul from Penny's gave me an idea. About 20 brand new pairs of socks, all plain black. Tell him to stick to the one colour and embrace the idea of vaguely coordinating socks. Lifting the ashes is MJ's least favourite. There's vacuums you can get from that. Are they any good? Denise says, I pair socks all day before I'll iron. Okay, I don't mind ironing. I think if you don't like ironing, you don't have a good iron. I think the key to ironing is a good iron, and if you have a good iron, it makes it much easier. Margaret doesn't like the dusting. Claire, the one and only benefit of kids is the night socks phase, all the same. Yeah, indeed. Elaine, stop. Lol. Honestly, I think the washing machine eats them. That's where her socks are going. Brenda, ironing shirts and men's trousers. Trousers I hate. I've given up on pleats. Breed says, oh my God, it's the worst. Always have loads of odd socks left. Bridget loves parents' socks, hates ironing and washing windows. Dolores, wash the socks as you wear them. That's one option. Shauna, yes, definitely socks. Don't mind if they have a colour in them. Big match with white sport socks of different shapes and sizes. Magella doesn't like hoovering or washing the outside of the windows. Cleaning windows, Mary doesn't like as well. Laura, the bloody sorting of socks. Christopher, everything. All right, that's just some insights. It's off the back of a contact from a listener who says they hate housework, but they hate particularly dealing with the socks. What say you? 086 60 25,000, just for a little bit of distraction from the more serious and important items that we discuss here on the show as well. A caller says, I called the GP this morning for a sick cert and I was charged €20. The last time I was sick, there was no charge. Does anyone know why there is now a charge? Well, I'm sure there's lots of people calling up for sick certs, so maybe it's taking up time and they've said, right, we'll stick a charge on it. I presume that's normally the pathway to charges, isn't it? Right, stay where you are. Loads coming up over the next couple of hours, but we're going to take a break now as we listen to the news and obituary notices.